Casillas, can you come on up? Missionary in Mexico with your family, Lizzie and the kids. And now residing here in Santa Rosa, at least for a period of time. We don't know how long, but I just want to pray for you before we pass this off. So, Jesus, I thank you for Fernando, a man of God, a man after your own heart. And I just pray that you would bless him as he shares this morning, that he would experience your grace, he would experience your freedom, he would experience your power, and then what I heard before, he would experience your fire. Would you pour out your blessing on him as he shares, and that he would just have the ability to navigate where you want to go, Holy Spirit, and he would just trust you. Thank you for his heart. Thank you for his life. And we just celebrate what you're doing in him and then what you're going to release through him to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory to the Lord. He is good. He is always good. And he is risen. Why you don't shout that? He is risen. Say it like if you believe it. He is risen. And he is our God. A God who has power over the dead. A God who has power over the sin. A God who has power over the sicknesses. A God who has power over the devil. A God who has power over all our problems. And he is alive. He is risen. And he is here. And he is in you if you have invited into your heart. Praise to our God and Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen. Revelations 1:1 says, I am the living one. I was dead. And now, look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death in Hades. What a tremendous statement. He was dead, but now he is alive. Once you and me were dead, but thanks to him, now we are alive. My brothers and sisters, 2,000 years have been went by since that glorious day. And sadly, there's still some people in the earth that have not believed in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And even more sadly, there is even some among us that haven't believed with their hearts. They believe with their minds, but they haven't believed with their hearts. That's why the way that they are living their lives, it's away from the Lord. Why you don't close your eyes for a minute? And do justice to his name. To his glorious name. And adore him with all your heart. Tell him that you have truly believed in his resurrection. Forget about the time. Just adore him. We have believed on you, Jesus. And we know that you are alive. And we love you. We love you. That people hasn't believed in Jesus is not something unusual. Because even those who walk with him during his 3 years of ministry, when they first heard the news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they didn't believe. So it's not unusual to have people in the world not believing in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 24, verse 1 to 11, I'm sorry, we were not going to have them in the screen because something is wrong with my USB. So if you have Bibles, I would not like to read them, read the whole verses because it will take us a long time. So if you just want to look at them around. But in Luke 24, verse 1 to 11, says that the first ones of hearing the good news about the resurrection of Jesus were women. Women, yell out, yes, yes! We were the first. And the Bible says that these women went to the tomb of Jesus and they find out that the stone who was sealing the tomb was removed. And when they went inside to see the body of Jesus, they find out that the body was not there. And while they were wondering about that, it says that two men with clothes that were glowing like thunder, like lightning, sorry, stand before them, in the sight of them, and told them, why you're looking for the living among the dead? The Bible says that they bowed their heads because they got afraid of the angels. And the angels told them to remember the words of Jesus while he was, before he died. Remember what he told you, that it was necessary that the Son of Man was given to the Gentiles to die. The Bible says that these women went to the disciples and they told them that the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when they hear the good news, they didn't believe them. They thought that they were hearing crazy things. They thought that the women were talking nonsense. They didn't believe in the testimony of those women. The Bible says that one of the most unbelieving people in that time was one of the own disciples of Jesus. The most unbelieving person in that time was one of his own disciples. One that saw the miracles of Jesus. One that heard the teachings of Jesus. One that saw angels coming from heaven to Jesus and from Jesus to heaven didn't believe the good news when he heard them. His name was Thomas. This is you can find this in Luke 24, verse 36 to the 43. And it says that when the 10 disciples told Thomas that Jesus was resurrected, that Jesus resurrected from the dead, he didn't believe them. And he told them that he was not going to believe until he put his fingers where the nails were. And he was not going to believe until he was able to put his hand in the side where Jesus were pierced. The Bible says that 8 days after, the 11 disciples were gathered together in a house, and Jesus appeared to them and told them, "Peace be with you." And he called Thomas, directly to Thomas, and says, "Come and put your finger in here and your hand in my sight, and be and stop unbelieving and be a believer." Those were the words from Jesus to Thomas. If those who walk with Jesus during his 3 years of ministry, if those who saw the wonders that Jesus performed on earth didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus when they first hear them, what could we expect from those who have not had an encounter with Jesus yet? What could we expect from the world if those who walk with Jesus didn't believe in his resurrection? That's why you and me that we had an encounter with Jesus, that we have the certainty of the resurrection of Jesus, that's why you and me have the responsibility to go to those who have not believed yet and be witnesses to them. We need to embrace the call that Jesus has made to our lives and go after those who are not believing in him. We have to be certain that every time that we speak about Jesus, about his resurrection, about his deity, we have to be certain that those words are not going to come back empty, because the Bible, because God says it. We have to be certain that when we go to those who have not believed in Jesus, and even after we give testimony to them and they still don't believe us, we have to be certain that Jesus himself will appear to them in the same way that he did with the apostles. In the same way that he did with Thomas, we have to believe it. Don't you know that that's the purpose that God has put in your life? Don't you know, my brother and sister, that you are the light of this world? Don't you know that you are surrounded by darkness? You haven't realized that you're among blind people? You have a call in your life to be light in this world. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 14 to 16 says, You, sir, ma'am, you. Are the light of this world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it into a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. If you still don't understand this truth, this reality of the calling of God in your life, God makes it more clear. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 47, he says, "For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles," speaking about sinners, "and you may bring salvation to the end of the earth." God is speaking about you. We need to awake to this reality. We need to understand the importance of our calling. I will illustrate the importance of this call of God to your life. Close your eyes for a minute while I try to illustrate it to you. No peeking, all right? Imagine a blue house. It's really pretty. It's blue. It has two floors, a chimney. And inside of that house lives a doctor. That doctor once was sick. He had cancer. And if you look closer, you will find that you can still see the damage that cancer did on his body. When this man was about to die, God had mercy on him and give him the cure for cancer. When he had the cure, he went to his lab and he mixed the drugs and then he drank them. The next thing that doctor found is that he was totally healed from cancer. Now that doctor has the cure for all those people who has cancer in the world, if he wants, could go to the whole world and stop the people who is dying from cancer to die. But look at him. He's not doing it. He's enjoying his pretty blue house. He's enjoying his cars. He's enjoying his job. He's enjoying his family. He has not realized that God didn't give him the cure of cancer, not only for his own benefit. It's for the benefit of all those who are dying of the same disease that he was dying. You can open your eyes now. Sadly, many of us in Christianity are like that doctor. Once we were sick. Once we were about to die. And Jesus had mercy on us. And he let us understood and believe in Jesus Christ. And now we have the knowledge that heals sin. That now we have the knowledge that can avoid us to die. Many of us, we're not doing nothing about it. We haven't understood that the knowledge that we possess is for the benefit of those who are around us. It's for the benefit of this town. It's for the benefit of this nation. It's for the benefit of the whole world. And here we are, many of us, strong, strengthened in the Lord, healthy, knowing that we are going, someday we're going to be in heaven with him. And we are enjoying it, which is not bad. But we are not doing the second part that he wants us to do. Go and take this good news to others who are dying in the same way that once we were going to die. At the end of the service, I would like that all of you that truly have belief in the resurrection of Jesus and that have been saved from death, come to the front and make a commitment with the Lord and embrace the calling that God is making to your life. The Bible says that one man, with just one man, God converted a whole city, Nineveh. What God can do with all of us if only we commit to him. I would like to end up this sermon speaking to those who still have doubts about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if you have doubts of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that means that you truly haven't believed in who Jesus says that he is. Because the resurrection of Jesus is the seal of God. The approval of God in what Jesus says that he was. And if you don't believe in one, you don't believe in the other one either. Maybe you, my friend, have heard a lot about Jesus. But the reality is that you're not following him. Maybe in this moment, this moment of your life, you are making the same questions to yourself about Jesus. The same questions that Thomas once did. Maybe you are asking that he is really the Messiah? That he is really the chosen of God? That he is really who he says that he is? Is he God? That he truly risen from the dead? Maybe you're making those questions like Thomas did. Let me answer them to you. Yes, he is the Messiah. I am a witness of it. Yes, he is God. I am a witness of it. Yes, he is who he says that he is. I am a witness of that. And yes, he has risen from the dead. And I'm just not a believer. I have had an encounter with him in the same way that the disciples did. In the same way that Thomas did. And he convinced me of his resurrection. And if you still have doubts about that, let me tell you that he can do the same that he did with the disciples to you. The same that he did to each of the ones that are here that already believe. He can appear to you and he can say to you, put your finger in here and your hand in my sight. And stop doubting and be a true believer. Why we don't stand up, please? And I beg you that if you want to have an encounter with Jesus today, if you want him to prove you that he is truly risen, come to the front. I'm sure that he's going to let you see and understand that he has risen. And for all the other ones who already believe like me, I also beg you that come to the front and commit yourself to start sharing the good news of the gospel. Don't be shy. Come here, please. Come here. It's necessary that you and me commit to him. I have so much trust in my Lord and God that I know that each of you are going to be touched by him today. Just be willing. Have hope. He's going to do it. I can feel it. I'm already feeling it. And if you want, you can have some of that. Father God, we have believed on you. And we ask you that in this beautiful morning, you let us see Jesus Christ. You let us have an encounter with our Lord and Master as we never had before. Holy Spirit, give us more of your presence. Give us more of you, Lord. Pour out your presence, Lord. Start asking for more of his presence. If you want more, ask him for more. He's going to start making you feel things that you have not felt before. He's going to bring an increasement of his presence on you. Father,
yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is, and nothing can stand against. Powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rivals. You have no equals, now and forever, God, you reign. And yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is.
Let's sing that together. Thank you, Fernando. Let's just declare the truth of it.